Got your Bible tonight, 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter number 2. I will tell you this before I say anything else. Many of the things that I will be saying tonight was taken from a video by a man by the name of Bodie Hodge. He's with Answers in Genesis. And just appreciate some of the research that he had done. And I'll share a few of those things with you. I'm going to be dealing with a subject tonight that's probably not popular, but since when do I do that? You know, there's things you got to deal with that are not popular. But you know, when you love people, you want to warn them of that which is wrong, that which is evil, that's what's going to hurt them, and so forth. You know, if somebody's playing in the freeway, what are you going to do? Don't wink out there and play in the freeway. No, you're not going to do that. Get out of the way! I mean, you're going to do something. Amen? Yeah. And by the way, that's not hatred. Sometimes we get yelled at. It's not hatred. I mean, somebody's trying to help us out a little bit. So let's understand that as we go into this tonight. I'm going to be dealing with the subject of Halloween. Aren't you excited? You came tonight just for that, right? And we're going to look at some things tonight. Let's look here, first of all, in the Word of God, because I believe we have some verses here that are tremendous, tremendous verses. Chapter number 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Now notice verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return of the shepherd and the bishop of your souls." Let's look at verse 24 again. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Can I suggest to you tonight that being a Christian is about life? Amen? Being a Christian is about life. According to the book of John, it's about the abundant life. Also, according to the book of John, it's about eternal life. And thank God I can have eternal life and abundant life both. Amen? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray you might bless and work tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray that we not only see dangers, but, oh, God, that we might see the great hope that we have. We might understand the beauty and the wonders of the life that we have available to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless, we pray tonight. As we look into your word, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. In way of some introduction tonight, we're talking about Halloween. The people who are most excited about Halloween, who do you think that is? Huh? Kids? No, I think it's the merchants. And I'm going to tell you why, because over $11 billion is spent on stuff for Halloween. Do you know that comes out to $125 per household across the United States of America? But not only do we find those folks excited, we find some other folks that are not too excited. We look at our law enforcement, we look at our medical professions, and it has become one of the most dreaded nights of the year. We find in the city of Detroit, arson runs rampant. We find in the city of Boston, their crime rate goes up by over 50% every year. Theft and vandalism and crime. We also find that there is occult activity that takes place. And in many ways, a very scary night indeed. Paganism has its roots with the Epicureans. Now, that might not make a whole lot of sense to you, but as we look back into the Word of God in Acts chapter 17, we find that Paul, he had a little intersection with them at the nation or at the city of Athens. And it is noteworthy that there is something about the Epicureans that you may not know. Let me give you tonight the definition of an Epicurean from the American Tract Society Dictionary. And here's what it says: a celebrated sect of ancient philosophers. They were materialist and virtually atheistic, believing that the atoms of nature existed from eternity, and that from their incidental union, all things are formed, both visible and invisible. Does that sound familiar? That sounds like today. That sounds like what most folks believe took place as we evolved into what we are today. 14 billion years ago, there was a big explosion, they tell us, and nothing exploded and became something. And that something whirled around in space for about 10,000 years, and about 4 billion years ago, we find that something really miraculous took place, and that is this earth began to spin away from the sun. And as it began to spin away from the sun, out of dead something or materials came forth life. And it was in the form of a one-celled animal. And that little one-celled animal began to have some problems. And every time it had a problem, it got better. Every time, you know, it did something that was not what it's supposed to be, and it got better. And it got a little better, became two-celled, became three-celled. Pretty soon it became a tadpole, and pretty soon it jumped out of the water like a frog, climbed up a tree, flew around, and became a dinosaur. Why are you laughing? That's exactly what is believed today, that dinosaurs came from birds. And eventually, we find that man popped on the scene. And that's what's taken place. Well, that's what they believe. They denied a divine providence and man's immortality. They believe there was no after judgment. No soul was material like the body and perishable with a death. Their rule of life was self-gratification, the pursuit of pleasure. Of course, they wanted it properly regulated and governed. Sound familiar? And of course, there were tremendous indulgences that took place and so forth throughout their culture. Now, that's interesting as we look back at the Epicureans, because the Epicureans were basically a pagan philosophy. It was that which we look at today, and we look back at what the pagans began to celebrate many years ago. It was called the Day of the Dead. Something that took place for many, many years. It's something still practiced extensively throughout the world. We find in some of our very close neighbors, such as Mexico, there's the Day of Dead. It's a very popular celebration there. Haiti, Brazil, a few other South American countries, many of the nations in the Far East and also in the Middle East, as well as some in Europe, practice this particular thing. This particular practice of the Day of Dead came over to us in the 1840s. And it came to us by way of our Celtic ancestor. How many tonight are Scottish? I'm Scottish. I got some Scottish in me. I got a Springer name, which is German, but I got Scottish in me from my grandmother. Some of you are Scottish. All of my family was redheaded except me. I don't know what happened. And I think my mother got tired when it came around to me and saw that gene didn't get passed on. Well, it was after my father. But we have those things. Any of you Irish? Any of you Irish willing to admit it? You're both of those? Holy cow, watch out for Sterling. Where are you at? Be careful of him. Anyways, they are the Celt people, and we find that they had some people within their ranks called the Druids. The Druids, and this doesn't mean a whole lot to you or to me, I suppose, but they were the priestly people amongst them. And they were people who, like the Epicureans, they had the acceptance of millions of years instead of creation, all this sort of thing. And they had this celebration of the dead. Now, that's interesting why it's the celebration of the dead. When you stop and think about evolution, what has to happen in order for you to evolve into another creature? Somebody's got to die. I mean, we find that something came along, it died and became something else, and it died and became something else, and it died and became something else. It is really a science, if you want to call it science. I don't call it science. I'll explain that in a minute. But it is that which is attempting to explain how things came about. And it's about dying and dying and dying. And so they have this day where they look at those who have died and gone before us. Well, a number of years ago, back in the 600s, 700s, we find the Catholic Church saw this going on, and they were in some nations where it took place, and they thought, well, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to change one of our holidays. It was called All Saints Day, and we're going to change that to November 1st. And because this holiday was celebrated on November 1st, and I'll explain in a moment why it's October 31st in a moment, but we find that they thought, well, we're going to change this, and we're going to put this on that particular day. And so All Saints Day was on November 1st, and it was a hallowed day. And since that day began with the evening first, it soon became known as All Hallows Eve. What's that sound like? Well, it found itself morphed into that word Halloween. Now let's go up a few years and go back to our nation in the 1800s. We find our nation in the 1850s went to war, and in that war we find that, of course, we got rid of the shackles of slavery. By the way, do you know most of our forefathers were against that to start with? The only reason they accepted that and wanted to change that later on was because they thought there was a few of the states in the South would not join with them if they did that particular thing. Anyway, that's a long story. And, of course, we went to war over some of those things, and, of course, then slavery was taken care of. Well, while the shackles of slavery were being taken off, we find some other things took place in approximately the same time. In 1859, there was a man by the name of Charles Darwin. And Charles Darwin published a book called The Origin of the Species. And in that particular book, he said that he believed that as you look at the animal world, that they began to progress, and one grew into another, and another grew into another. And at the top of that particular thing was man. By the way, what's interesting about Charles Darwin and many of the early evolutionists, they believe that men had different positions within that evolutionary scale, and they believe white men were above black men. By the way, did you know that's what Adolf Hitler believed? And it's one reason he wanted to eliminate not only black people, but a few others as well, and sought to accomplish that he might, what, have a better progressive bunch of people. Well, there was also something else took place in 1881. There were two men by the name of Westcott and Hort. And these two men came on the scene, and their life was very interesting. One of them believed in Mariology, and they also had seances and so forth. There's a lot of records concerning all that. But we find they published a Greek text. And that Greek text then was used to translate almost every version of the Bible that you and I could purchase today. By the way, one reason we use the King James Version is right there. Because we use, in the King James, what's called the received text. I'll get my terms right. And that received text is something that people had used all the way down through the centuries. And you and I, we are using really the same Bible they've used all through those times. Well, that was published in 1881. We find that as men began to believe what Charles Darwin said and believe that what the geologists were interpreting would take millions of years to form, that they began to go away from the Word of God. At the same time, this new Greek text comes along with some 5,000 changes to what men and women had used previously to that. And what has taken place in the last 100, 150 years? Men, by and large, have put away the Word of God, saying, hey, I'm going to believe science over against what the Word of God says. Let's stop for a minute. Time out. Science. What is science? Something for you to remember. Young people, you need to remember this. What we're dealing with tonight is what we call apologetics. Apologetics is really being able to defend your faith. And we need to understand some things. We need to understand that science is that which is observable and repeatable. Can you say that with me? It is observable and repeatable. In other words, you see it take place and you can see it repeated again. Okay? For instance, we find that there's a thing called gravity. I'll use my pen. And what happens? If I let go of this, what's it going to do? It's going to fall. Where'd it go? All right. Every time that I let go of this, it's going to fall. Okay? And we know there's a thing, gravity, that's pulling down on this pin or whatever. For some of us here tonight, gravity's pulling on us harder than others. It's just the way the thing works. Okay? So science is what we observe, and it can be repeated. Understand something very, very clearly. Evolution has never met that criteria. Never met that. And you have to go into this thing, and you have to look at it from certain standpoints. Remember when I had Katie up here this morning? And I had Lindsay on one side, I was on the other side. She could see different than what I could see. Same girl, standing in the same position, but she saw her back, I saw the front side. I saw her face, she saw the back of her head. I saw hair pulled back, she saw a ponytail. Okay? I seen a sweater with a kind of open in front, she didn't see it open in back. It was different, wasn't it? Okay, I could see toes to her boots, you could see heels to her boots. Okay. Same person, but our point of view is different. How we look at the facts determines the conclusions that we may come to. Now let's stop and think about this for a moment. The Bible is written by God. We know that. We believe that tonight. It is written by the Creator. And as we look at the Word of God, we find that God tells us what took place in the very beginning. That makes Him an eyewitness. Does it not? If He's an eyewitness and He saw it and He wrote it down, that's exactly what science does. It's exactly what it is. He was there, He did it, He wrote it down to give to you and to me. You say, well, I'm going to look at all the things around. I'm going to look at the rock layers. And I'm going to say, hey, listen, those rock layers are formed by dust and different things being laid down over a long period of time. And I say to you, hey, I can look at it from God's point of view, and by the same token, and I can show you with some other facts that those rock layers could have all been put down in a matter of 1 year called the flood. I may remember Mount St. Helens when she blew her stack. Out in Washington, there was a mountain, Mount St. Helens. When we lived out there, it was taller than it is now. And as a matter of fact, I had a cousin living in Longview at the time, and she said one Sunday morning, they got up, she said, I looked out the window, it was just black as could be. She says, it rained, it looked like it was raining mud. And that mountain had blown up. She did not know what had taken place, but she could see all that ash and the rain bringing it down. Of course, later they found out that had become an active volcano once again, and it blew its top, and there were people killed. There was great destruction. Matter of fact, there was a river that was about 6 blocks from where she lived at, began to flow, not only with water, but some lava. By the time it got to her, it was cooled off, but it was quite an event that took place. Something interesting happened. In the matter of just a few weeks, they found many layers of sediment that had formed in the matter of 3 days. And what was interesting about that was that sediment, as it had formed and hardened, there was also a gigantic rainstorm of some sort in one place that came down and washed it out and left it exposed like the Grand Canyon. And here's all these layers. Interesting. Anyway, there's a lot of things we can look at and talk about with all that stuff, but I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe the Word of God when it comes to the matters of creation. But we've tossed our Bibles aside, and we've taken up in our world the worship of self and the worship of this earth. And it makes sense that such worship looks back at all the dead that have paved the way. Death is the hero of evolution. And I'm saying this because it's also the hero of Halloween. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Proverbs, because I want you to see this verse. Chapter number 8, verse number 36. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 36. I'll give you a moment to find your spot there. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 36. And this verse reads, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." There's a colon. Big explanation following. Notice what it says. "All they that hate me," what, brethren? "Love death." Carl Sagan, a very famous evolutionist, said this, "The secrets of evolution are time and death." I'll give you something else to chew on. Margaret Sanger, have you ever heard that name? The founder of Planned Parenthood. What a misnomer for a woman who said what she said. She said this, "The most merciful thing a large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." Why do they believe such things? Because death is that which is going to cause the progress of mankind. Now, I say all that to say this. Halloween, if I understand it correctly, in our day and age, whether you take all the history with it or not, it promotes and glories in death. All you have to do is drive around town and you find that people have set up graves, they've set up tombstones, there's skulls, there's the angel of death that is portrayed here and there. It promotes the occult, if you please, with its witches and its ghosts and its walking dead. Stop and consider that. Now you and I, we look at and we realize what death is. Death is a result of sin. The wages of sin is death. Isn't that not true? It's not because we get old and get sick and we die. We get old and we get sick and we die because the wages of sin is death. God did not create us to get old and get sick and to die. God created us to live forever. Matter of fact, we are created in the image of God. And did you know our soul will live forever? Either in eternity with God or in eternity with the devil. It's one or the other. That choice really is ours. And the reason that choice is ours is very simple. The wages of sin is death. What did Jesus Christ do? He died for us, did he not? Now think about for a moment. If the wages of sin is death, was Jesus a sinner? No. Matter of fact, he was born of a virgin. He did not sin. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We find that he was the matchless Son of God who never sinned. He was the pure Lamb of God. And because he never sinned, listen, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die," but he died. What did he do? He took our sin upon him. The Bible says our iniquities, our sin was laid upon him. That's an interesting concept. And we find here that Jesus came to this world. He didn't die for his sin. He didn't have any. What did he do? He went to the cross for yours and for mine. And the death that we might glory in is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ because it took ours. He said, "But preacher, you're going to die one of these days. My body hasn't got saved yet." By the way, have you noticed your body hasn't got saved yet? Now, I believe it's going to one of these days. One of these days the trumpet's going to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, the Bible teaches us something wondrous is going to take place. And that is, listen, you and I, if we're alive and that trumpet sounds, we're going to be, what, taken up into heaven just like we are. We'll be saved, body, soul, and spirit then. I mean, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Is that exciting? Wow. Mike, you won't have to wear glasses anymore. Isn't that exciting? And all those other things. You know, I mean, folks walking around, they got false eyes, false teeth, false ears. I even have to wear a false voice. Okay? And some of you got new knees and new shoulders and, you know, new hips. And good night, we just wear out all over the place. But one of these days, we're going to be changed. Huh? Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Wow. The older I get, hey, listen, one of the great things about getting old, you got all these little things that go wrong with you and all these things you deal with. And, you know, by the way, you can either get cumbered down and be feeling sorry for yourself all the time, or you can say, hey, praise God, one of these days God's going to change it. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, just keep your attitude right. Don't be one of these people, oh, woe is me, I'm so bad. By the way, if you cry, a whole lot of people will cry with you, so just laugh, it'll be a whole lot better. And attitude's good. Anyways, one of these days, that's going to take place. Well, our Lord and Savior, He came and He died for us. But there's something great about our Lord and Savior. You and I, we understand death's the result of sin. But we also know that it's not a way of producing a higher species. We know that His death was a sacrifice of His life to die for our sins. By the way, there's something very interesting. If you believe in evolution, guess what took place before God said to Adam and Eve, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They were already dying. According to evolution, there had already been millions and millions of animals and people who had already died. So what was the big threat? See, if you stop believing one thing, you're going to have problems with the whole works. And it just, again, it's perspective. If we look at it from God's eyes, we can see all these things. But nonetheless, we find that you and I, we don't sit around really and celebrate the death of Christ. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Do you know what today is? It's Sunday, the first day of the week. When did Jesus rise from the grave? First day of the week. Amen. Up from the grave He arose. We get excited about that. We thank God for that. And you and I, we celebrate the resurrection. And the life that we have in Christ, that life which we mentioned a while ago, it's both abundant and eternal. But this old world, it has hijacked some things. They've hijacked Christmas. Instead of being about the Son of God who came that He might live and then die for us and resurrect and make a way for us to go to heaven, it's about a guy called Santa Claus. Did you ever notice they give godly traits to him? He knows when you've been naughty or nice. A fat man in a red suit who stands on the corner dinging a bell knows what you did, according to them. They've hijacked Easter from us, and now we have a rabbit that lays eggs, and they're colored to boot. By the way, I've hunted rabbits. I know what rabbits lay, and it's not eggs. Some believe that what actually took place in the development of this, what is now called Halloween, goes clear back to Noah when he sacrificed when they came off of the ark. And as they sacrificed there in bringing glory to God and what He had done for them and saving their lives, and through the years that thing got perverted. And it makes a lot of sense if you study that through, but we're not going to go that direction tonight. But nonetheless, we find that there are today who want to portray that which is dead. Now our kids don't understand all this stuff. I don't expect them to. Some that are sitting here tonight, they can listen, they can understand some of those things. But most little kids, when it comes to Halloween, what are they interested in? The candy. You know? Matter of fact, if they could just go down the street and go to people's houses and have them give them candy and not have to go through all that junk that people put on them and make them do this, oh, isn't that party and all this sort of stuff, they would be just as happy. That's all they're really interested in. But when I looked at some of these things as my children were growing up, I found it impossible personally to promote it in my family. I don't think, though I think a couple of them went out against my will and went after the candy, they will be the ones setting it. But there was something I wanted in their lives. That was to understand what Joshua said many years ago. Let me read from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. And I want you to listen to what he says here. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. That was people around whom they dwelt, in whose land, he says, ye dwell. But as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And so I sought to do some other things on those nights. I don't remember all the things we did. Then some years later, we did some things at church. By the way, Monday night, October 31st, we're going to have game night here. If you'd like to come, bring your kids. I'm going to bring my thing over there that burns wood and bring it over here, over on the side of the building. If you want to bring some hot dogs, we'll roast some hot dogs and burn them. I like burnt hot dogs. Amen. And if you'll bring some onions to put on them, listen, onion breath is not bad breath. Not if everybody has it. Okay? And we'll just have a time together with that. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. But I seek to do some alternatives. I bring these things to you tonight because as God's people, we're not celebrating death. We deal with death. We've had friends and we've had loved ones who've passed. And our hearts grieve. But at the same time, with that grief, when we know they know the Lord, there is a joy in the soul knowing they be in the presence of God. Knowing the scripture when it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have that hope. One of the first funerals I ever attended was my great aunt Annie. I have in my office her Bible. I conned a cousin out of it. I was just a little kid, but I had fond recollections of her. She was 97 years of age. She lived with two of my uncles and at different times. And I remember one of my uncles or aunts saying that they'd walk by her room on a number of occasions and found her on her knees praying and saying, Lord, would you please take me home? What I remember about the funeral was this. We went into the auditorium. I don't remember where we was at, but we probably a funeral home. We went into the funeral home, and we took out the songbooks. Must have been a church. And we sang hymns. And we were happy. We were sad that she was gone. But at the same time, we were happy because we knew she was with the Lord. And so we look and we see those things, but we don't celebrate death. We celebrate life, amen? And that's where we're at. And I celebrate tonight eternal life. How did I get it? Because I recognize that my Creator, I had sinned against Him. And when I sinned against Him, I didn't deserve to be in His presence. And when I realized how deep that was and found out what Jesus had done for me, I prayed. It was a prayer of faith. Most of you have heard the words I use. I can remember them so vividly. I prayed, Lord, that's what I've been looking for. I was so empty. Empty. I don't know another word for it. And I was wanting something to be fulfilling in my life. And when I saw what He had done for me and I accepted that, God saved my hell-deserving soul. I'd been in church. I'd been baptized before. I had little pins and little bars from attendance in Sunday school. But none of that meant anything because I'd never, ever placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And on that day of February 1966, 50 years ago, when I prayed and the Lord came into my life, He saved my soul. Wow. And by the way, He did it, not me. Christina, if I had done it, I'd have lost it by now. I've messed up so many times, but he did it. And he reached down and saved me. If you're here tonight and that's not happened to you, God can save you. He wants to. That's why he came to start with. That, by the way, is why he arose from the dead, as in the presence of God. And you and I can pray through him to God and get forgiveness of sin. Phew. Hallelujah. I just like kind of jump around a little bit right now and just be excited, but the legs don't let me do that, but yes, it's good to know him. Amen. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, you're so wondrous. We're thankful tonight for life, life abundantly, life eternal that you offer us. Lord, I'm thankful tonight that you don't just shove it on us when we don't want it, but as we desire it and accept it. Lord, we know it's by faith because we got to believe you, what you've said about it. And that's what faith is belief in your word. And so, Lord, tonight I pray that there be one in our presence does not know you as Savior. Tonight be a night for that. Lord, help us as your people to recognize that we are celebrants of life, life in Christ, not of death. And thank you, O God, that we died in you and we were buried in you, but we also arose in you, victorious over the grave. Lord, thank you for that victory. Work in our hearts tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask you to stand where you're at, please. Amen.